Well, strange times we live in. Masks, distancing, working from home. Hard to believe it'll soon be 2 years. We've had all these different things. Wash your hands, cover your face, give space. And the reality of COVID. And new acronyms have come along. I remember reading in the paper, WFH, what was that? They worked out working from home. And then we came up with new terms and began using these things, Zoom meetings. I'd never heard of Zoom before COVID came along. And lockdowns. And people working from home and, well, some DIY, a lot was done in that first lockdown. And B&Q, because they had run out of stuff because people were doing things at home with no time previously to do such things and so on. But the effects of this COVID, 150 deaths in the UK. And the effect not just upon people who get it, who have long COVID, who die, but the effects upon the economy, the health service, others not getting maybe the treatment just as they should because of COVID. Jobs, uncertain, again because of COVID. And it's affected people's health, not just physically, but mentally. And maybe it's affected your view of God, your faith. Maybe you're struggling. When will this all be over? Why has God allowed all this? Well, this evening you'd look at Psalm 103. It's the first of several psalms that are all dealing with God's goodness and thanking God for who He is and what He has done. Look at Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my Lord. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The God of creation. And the psalmist praises and thanks God that He is this God. That the trees are watered, the animals provided for. Again, Psalm 105, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Well, we continue on, Psalm 106, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And He deals with God's dealings with the people in Egypt, bringing them through the wilderness into the promised land and so on. And again, Psalm 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And that is our first heading tonight. We ought as Christians to have an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful people for God, for who He is, for what He has done and promises to be for His people. Some psalms set the scene. Like Psalm 51. It's after David's sin with Bathsheba. So that's the scene for that psalm. We don't know the setting for this psalm. We don't know if David's up in cloud nine or he's down in the depths. Maybe we're not meant to know. Similarly, as believers, we need to be thankful people, whatever the circumstances, to give praise. And David's approach here is helpful to us, I think. Let me read those first verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, and so on. Now, do you see what David's doing here? He's talking to himself. You bring up the next slide, please. There we are. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We live in a world where there are so many voices. TV, radio, Twitter, Facebook, friends, family, newspapers, magazines, texts, TikTok. How do we discern truth from fiction, fake news from factual, helpful from harmful? And we can even deceive ourselves into thinking something is this when it's that, thinking we're fat when we're thin, thinking we can sing when we can't, thinking we're good when we're not, thinking some will happen, some terrible, and we get sick with worry. And it's all our thought processes as our mind. We think the worst. And one of the concerns, as I said, about lockdown is the mental effect it's had on so many people, because things have changed. We can't meet with people as we used to. We couldn't go to work and meet colleagues and so on. And it's a fact upon our minds. Not being able to meet with family and friends. That's changing. It's better than it was. What do we do? Well, the Bible gives us advice. David gives us advice. Talk to yourself. Preach the Bible to yourself. Let me turn to another psalm where the psalmist does this. Psalm 42. On this occasion, the psalmist is struggling. Psalm 42. It's a psalm of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for flowing streams, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? He's struggling. He's crying. Is it because there's death nearby? He's sick, illness, war? We don't really know, but he's struggling. People say to him, where is your God? Verse 4, these things I remember. As I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. And then verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Do you see what he's doing? He's talking to himself. He's fearful, he's depressed, he's struggling, he's weeping. But he says to his soul, hold on here a minute. Why are you in turmoil? Hope in God. For I shall praise him again. Remember God. Remember the God who has saved you, the God who loves you, the God who is the good shepherd of the sheep, the God who knows when to lead them to fresh pasture, the God who will carry them in his arms close to his heart, the God who was the beginning of the end. The God who was there for Job in the struggles. And Job saw at one point, God knows the way I take. When he's tested me, I shall come forth as gold. The God who's refining him. Or we read earlier from Lamentations in chapter 3. Lamentations written by Jeremiah after the fall and destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And was it 5... I've forgotten now, 573, I've forgotten anyway. And it's a scene of devastation. And he says this, he says, he has made my teeth grind on gravel, he's made me cower in ashes, my soul is bereft of peace, I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so is my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction, my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind. I talk to myself, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. He reminds himself of who God is. of God's character and God's goodness, ultimate goodness. That God has permitted this, he is a reason. Don't Paul says, all things work to good for those who love him. Not all the good things, but all the things, even the bad things. God has a purpose in your life and in mine. He is faithful. His mercy hasn't been taken away. Trust him. Hope in him. The devil is always trying to deceive us and make us question God's goodness and God's character and God's love and God's mercy. The devil is a liar. Don't listen to him. Don't even trust your feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. Trust God and his word. Go back to it. Remind yourself. Preach it to yourself. Especially in dark and difficult days. Secondly, he goes on to say, don't forget God's benefits, God's goodness. Some days we think what we don't have. We forget what we do have, what God has given us. And David enumerates some of those things. It's good for us to stop and think, what's the chorus? Count your blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and so on. It's good to stop and think. Each morning, thank God if you slept, had a bed to sleep in. Thank God if you have breakfast food in your cupboards to go down to, a roof over your head, someone to smile at you in the morning. Maybe not good in the morning, they don't smell too much, I don't know, but stop and thank God. And what's the first thing here that David thanks God for? That God forgives iniquity, sin. With God there is forgiveness. And if you are a believer here this evening, you are forgiven because of Jesus. In Christ, your past sin is forgiven. In Christ, your present sin is forgiven, and your future sin will be forgiven because of Jesus. Thank God that is so. Because of Jesus, because his birth, life, death at Calvary, and resurrection. That's why. And if you're not a Christian, you can be forgiven. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Today is the day of mercy. Whatever your sins, however big or small you think they are, you may be forgiven in Christ. And there's no greater blessing. No, you're forgiven. No longer condemned, but right with him and at peace. He goes on to talk about how God heals him from all his diseases. Often you've been sick and recovered, maybe through the natural process, your immunity, your system, or medication, or doctors, or hospitals. Thank God for that. Who redeems your life from the pit? Times you've been in great danger, maybe a car accident, but you survived, you're here. God's hand upon you. Who satisfies you with goods? The good things we enjoy. The meal out with friends or family, a holiday, a new Xbox game, a walk, things we enjoy that God gives us, music, fresh air, freedom to come here tonight, not be in a dictatorship where we could be arrested or so on. Thank God for these things. The Israelites, they'd hardly got out of Egypt, and they began to complain how quickly they forgot their deliverance and their suffering and slavery. And so often we can be like that. We need to be a thankful people. Stop each day and thank God. Enumerate some of those things. Don't make it a general thanks. Thank God for specific things. Thank God if you're still married. Thank God if you have family. Thank God for being able to afford a car to bring you here tonight. To be able to heat your home and so on. For a job. For skills he's given you. For opportunities. Thank him. Something else to note in these first verses, a word that repeats itself several times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. It's that word, all. All. Praise him with all your soul. With all that's within you. Thank him for his dealings with you. Thank him for the way he's made our bodies with an immune system to deal with illnesses, that deal with most systems, things. Thank him we've got a health service. Others aren't as, okay, it's got its issues, but some other countries, they have very little. There's a verse in, a couple of verses, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, which says this. Yeah, there it is. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, not just the good times, but the bad times. Let me illustrate with a story. I don't know if you've ever read or heard of The Hiding Place. It's about Corrie ten Boom and her family. This is Holland. Harlem during World War II, when the Germans invaded. They were a Christian family. They had a watch shop. They would have read the Bible and prayed each evening before bed. And they made a little room, a hiding place to hide people from the Germans, people escaping, Jews and others. And then somebody squealed on something, they'd extra ration cards, and the Germans came, they were arrested, they were interrogated, their father died in interrogation. They were then transferred to, I can't remember, it was Belsen, whatever camp or concentration camp they went to. And it wasn't a very nice place. They were put in this dormitory. 400 beds, but 1,200 women, so three to a bed. And they weren't big beds. And there was fighting and arguing, and it stank. And the place was full of fleas. And yet, Betsy said to her sister Corrie, when they got there, Betsy, let's give God thanks for bringing us here. And they managed to smuggle a Bible in. So, Corrie looked at her as if she had two horns growing out of her head. What? Give thanks for this place? Do you know where we are? Corrie, Betsy said, doesn't it say in the scriptures, give thanks in all circumstances? So Betsy began to pray, and Corrie joined in, yes, Lord, and thank you for the fleas. Perhaps more in sarcasm than in genuine honesty and thankfulness. Well, they began to have a little Bible study with some of the women who fought and argued and disagreed, and God began to change some of those women. So he didn't fight or argue or follow it as much, and what helped was the German soldiers never came in to disrupt them. They would have stopped it, taken the Bible away, who knows what they would have done. And one day they discovered why the German soldiers never came in. It was to avoid the fleas. God can even use fleas. Not what you normally thank God for, but God has his means and his ways. So Betsy was right to give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances for God who loves you, who cares for you, who overrules all that happens for his glory and for our good. An attitude of gratitude. And then we notice too here the attributes of God. see that in our next slide. David goes on to talk about the Lord who works righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed, the God who made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel, the Lord who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We are reminded here, David reminds himself, reminds us of God's character. God's character. The God who is righteous. The God who is just. God who will bring justice for the oppressed. A God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. A God who doesn't deal with us according to our sins. A God whose love for us is as high as the heavens are above the earth. A God who puts our sin away as far as the east is from the west. A God who is like a father to his children. He knows we're weak, we're made of dust. God has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. God who is sovereign. He reminds us and himself of God's character. God is sovereign over COVID, over your disappointments and sorrows, and whatever else. God is sovereign. God has a plan. We should learn to trust him. But also, we see here something of the cross in these verses. If God is just, and God is just and must deal with sin, how can he not repay us according to our sins? How can he cast our sin away as far as east is from west? How can he do that? The only way is by the cross, through Jesus. And that's how. How deep the Father's love for us, that he set his Son upon the cross so that in Christ our sin might be borne and punished, and his righteousness transferred to us. That's why. Even in these verses, it looks forward to the cross. That's how our sins can put as far away as east is from the west. That's how he doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. Because of the cross, and because of his love for us. And then he goes on to talk about how God's steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. And that's the third thing, his covenant. Because of his covenant. What's a covenant? It's an agreement. When a couple marry, they make a covenant, an agreement to love one another in sickness and death and so on. God makes a covenant with his people, and one that he will not break. Those he has begun a good work in, he will complete. No one will pluck you from my Father's hands. And because of his covenants, we can rest secure. What did Jesus say at the Lord's Supper? As he took the cup, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." In the olden days, when people made a covenant, an agreement, how did they do it? This is the way it was shown with Abraham. When God made a covenant with Abraham, they took this animal, cut it in half, the two carcasses, and the two parties walked between the two halves of the carcass, saying, "If we break our agreement, let what happened to this animal happen to us." On that occasion, don't you remember, in Genesis, when God made that a covenant, Abraham slept And he saw in his dream the burning brazier, God's representation, passing through. Only God went through because God knew Abraham can't keep this covenant. Abraham's a sinner. But the greater son of Abraham, Jesus, kept the covenant. This is my beloved son, with him I am well pleased. In him no sin was found. And then he died upon the cross in our place and was able to rise again on the third day. Because of Jesus, because of the covenant he sealed with his blood, we have security. Heaven is assured. His help is assured to those who are in Christ. His covenant. How we need reminded of that. The attributes of God. His character, his cross, his covenant. And then lastly, those last few verses. Four times with this appeal, bless the Lord. Praise him. First of all, to the angels, God's servants who do his bidding. Think we were thinking of Christmas recently, the angels present there, coming to Zechariah, and then to Mary, and then to Joseph, and then to the shepherds with good news. Today a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. His hosts, his heavenly hosts, his ministers, his servants. If you're a believer, you're a servant. Called to do his will. His works. Creation praises God. Psalm 19, another Psalm of David's. The heavens declare your glory. The skies proclaim the work of your hands. They're singing God's praise. That sunset, that sunrise, the snow on the mountains is praising God. Blessing God. The birds, as they sing their song, are praising God. The leaves and the trees are praising God. The flowers. And lastly, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. It must become personal. We must praise God. Can we do anything else? When you stop to ponder all God has done, all he has promised to do, to look back to past times of his hand upon your life, saving you, bringing you through difficult and dark days, and what he's done in the past, he will do again. For he does not change. An attitude of gratitude. The attributes of God, an appeal to all creation to join together to praise him who is worthy of our praise. Let's unite in prayer.